This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
Well, today I want to talk about something that is near and dear to our heart, the Word of God. The Word of God is a gift to the believer, to the church as well. And at Gilbert Bible Church, we have a number of biblical convictions we have listed on our website. These convictions are obviously not the only things that we have convictions about, but the ones we list uniquely shape who we are and how we function as a church. The first one that we have listed is the centrality of the Word of God in the church. However, before we dive into that topic, Tom, would you talk just a little bit about the biblical convictions that we have listed as a church, why we have them, how we hold them, what the expectation is around them?
Absolutely. Conviction and why we have convictions is it's our way as the pastor elders of the church to let the body assembled at Gilbert Bible Church know what we are convinced of from Scripture. These convictions are what you can expect that the pastors, the elders of Gilbert Bible Church will bring to the body that they are convinced from Scripture. In this case, what we're talking about today, that God's Word is central to the church.
That's helpful. It's in one sense, what you're saying is it's an articulation from the elders of what we hold to, and implicitly is an invitation to hold the elders accountable to these things as a church, that we would not stray from them, because it's not that they're abstractly on our heart. It's that they are clearly from God's Word on His heart for His people.
Absolutely. You know, it is our commitment to the body to, you can hold us accountable to this value, to this conviction. If you don't see it, come say, hey, Tom, how you responded, you really weren't holding God's Word central.
Have you had that conversation yet?
Not recently.
Not recently. Praise God.
Yeah,
that's
praise
encouraging.
God.
Hopefully we will never need to. And hopefully if we need to, our body brings that to us. Tyler, I'd love to hear you talk a little bit. First of all, when we think about the centrality of the Word of God in the church, what does that mean big picture for God's Word to have a central position in the church? And then maybe as we flesh that out a little bit, we can discuss what are the practical implications of that conviction on the church in everyday ministry life. So maybe first, just give us kind of a big picture overview. What does it mean for God's Word to be central in the church?
Yeah, as I think about that, I am reminded of passages like Ephesians 2, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. Romans 1, 18 and following, where Paul just shows how big of a problem we have in unbelief and in rebellion. 1 Corinthians 2 talks about the same thing. We have a really big need. And God's Word, I think, so clearly shows us that He has provided for that need in the gospel, like we talked about last time. But where has this instruction been so clearly articulated? In His Word. 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17 says, "But you continue in the things you learned and became convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work." As I think about this, I don't think that there is any other thing that we have been given that we could come up with that has these promises tied to it. Able to make you wise for salvation, useful for equipping, for training, for to grow in righteousness. that is an amazing promise tied to God's word, and I don't think it is tied to any of our ideas. There are so many instructions in the pastoral epistles, even like we looked at this morning, that are just tied to God's word. What is the church commissioned to do? To equip the saints with the word of God, so that they can be faithful, so that they can serve, do the work of the ministry. And so I think the word of God having a centrality in the church, it does mean being faithful to preach God's word, and it does mean being faithful to minister God's word in every setting, as you're counseling, as we are in children's ministry. What do our children need to hear most? They need to know the God of the Word, so they need to have God's Word opened up in front of them, and not just hear from a curriculum, but from what God has breathed out.
I think that's a really good point, Tyler, and the passage you bring up from 1 Timothy 3, and even just that God's Word is a reflection of God Himself because it originates out of God. Scripture, our Bible, is God's clearest articulation of Himself to mankind. And so for us to understand our role, particularly as pastors, we have a delegated authority, and that authority submits to God's authority. And if God's word, if Scripture is a direct reflection of Him, then our authority must always be subject to the authority that the Word of God possesses, because that's God's authority expressed. So when we think about the order of the church, ministry of the church, even what we bring to bear on the lives of His people, it has to center on God's word, because we're delegated authority under God's authority to minister God's truth to God's people for God's sake, for His glory. So when we think, just like you said, when we think about the different ministries of the church, it's not our ingenuity or our ideas or making things entertaining that needs to have the prominent place. God's word has to have the prominent place. That's just so helpful to think along those lines when thinking about how we structure ministry in the church. Tom, when you think about centrality of God's word in the church, what that looks like practically in the life of the body, these ideas of, yes, God's word needs to be central. Help us maybe put some meat on the bones of, okay, how does that need to manifest itself in everyday life within the church?
You know, when you say, how does, you know, to think about it practically, I think the important thing is, how do you think about God's word? What view do, as pastor elders, do we have of God's word? And what is the view of the men and women, boys and girls at Gilbert Bible Church? And we hold to, as a church and as the pastors of the church, we hold to four components that God's word has ultimate authority. God's word will always trump anything outside of His word. And we are convinced in being practical that God's word is clear. There's clarity in God's word. It doesn't say it's easy to understand. It says it's clear. And sometimes we have to do the hard work for it to be clear, because we don't think like God thinks. It's not that God didn't speak clear enough. The problem is how we think. But God designed it for clarity. And for men and women, boys and girls, it's the necessity. It reminds me of 2 Peter 1:3, that it is by Jesus' divine power that we have everything we need for life and for godliness. And that even speaks to the sufficiency, because it's through the knowledge of Him. If we want to know what we need for life and godliness, it's only going to come through the sufficient word of God.
And that's really formative for how the church functions, because if you don't believe that God's word is sufficient, which in practice it seems like many churches don't,
right,
when problems of life come up, whether it's sickness, trial, hardship, conflict, strife, if you don't have a big view of God's word, or maybe just an accurate view of God's word, you're going to outsource those problems to so-called professionals.
Yeah.
And that's a direct reflection that you don't think God has given you what you need pertaining to life and godliness. And he clearly has, as you referenced from 2 Peter 1:3. And so to cultivate an impulsive running to God for the answers is actually the most healthy thing you can do. I think there's also a tendency to victimize everything in our culture. Your sin is not an issue of your heart. Your sin is an issue of what's been done to you, your biological challenges, or whatever excuses we might have. And ultimately, we know that the problem for every person is the same. It's sin, right. And God has given a remedy. And as Tyler shared, he's given us what we need unto salvation. He's given us what we need unto godly living for good deeds. And so when thinking through even the fact that God's word is authoritative, what he says is true and goes, it's clear. He wrote to be understood. We don't need a secret code, or what were those old... Yep. Cereal boxes that we don't need a decoder ring to interpret or
now you're showing your age.
What's going on? Yikes, going on in scripture. And it's necessary. It needs to have a central role, and it's sufficient for what we need. Right. In those core components, if we actually believe those, how could God's word ever not have a central place, not only in the life of the church, but in our lives individually as well,
right,
as we seek to please the Lord. So it's really helpful.
Yeah, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't make a comment on what you just said about it needs to be central in the life of every believer that's in the church. And I just want to say, if you do not think that way about Scripture, you need to investigate what's going on in your heart. At a moment where you're not feeling like being near God's Word, you need to ask yourself, what's going on? Is there unforgiveness? Is there bitterness? Am I offended by something? Why is it that I am not aligning my heart to the wellspring of life? And I know for every believer, there are days that are harder than other days. How do I help to think rightly? Because the problem is my thinking. The problem is not God's word.
So I've heard some in a critical way make comments about those that share similar views, more public churches, public speakers, or pastors who hold to this view of God's word in this way, the centrality, necessity of the centrality of God's word in the church, criticize it saying, wow, you've created a fourth person of the Trinity. And you worship God's word more than you worship God. What is actually a compliment about that criticism?
Right.
What is there a way that we could worship God's word and miss God? Is there a warning for us in that criticism? Mm-hmm. How should we think about an accusation like that? That you guys think so highly of God's word, you're missing God. I just focus on God.
One thing I would say is, if I was in that discussion. And this kind of blew me away when I recently was just doing a word study on understand, know, knowledge. Just regular words we see in Scripture. Over 1,500 times in Scripture, God's word speaks about understanding, speaks about our knowing, speaks about our knowledge. Where else can we go for understanding? Mm-hmm. Scripture says that Scripture is the place for understanding. Scripture says that that is how we know the one true God. That is how God has chosen to speak to the New Testament church, is through his word. And so I would appeal to somebody that it's that important to the Lord that he put it in his word to us 1,500 times, the expectation that I can understand, the expectation I can know. That blew me away to see 1,500 times.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that gets at the point of even what Tyler was talking about at the beginning, that we come to the Word of God to meet with the God of the Word. The Word of God is critically important because it reflects who God is. There's nothing about God's Word that is inconsistent with who God and he is in his nature. So if we truly love God, of course we're going to want to know him. And if we want to know him, of course we're going to come to the clearest source of his revelation to mankind,
right,
which is Scripture and what it reveals about him and Christ and so on. So, Tyler, obviously, as we've been talking, the Word of God needs to have a central role in the church. It also should have a central role, as we've been talking about, in the believer's life individually as we seek to bring God's Word to bear on life. How would you help someone, maybe somebody isn't there in practice, maybe they're compelled by this discussion or they agree with this point of the importance of the centrality of God's Word in their life, but maybe they're not there in practice and they want to be. Either they're struggling for discipline to read God's Word, or they don't know where to start, or maybe there's a disconnect in, I read my Bible every morning, but I don't see my life changing, or I don't see myself longing for it. How would, that's a lot right there. Talk to whatever of that you want to talk to.
Yeah, I think the first step is start. As we see in Psalm 1, we see the one who delights in the law of Yahweh is blessed. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And there is just a kindness of the Lord to give you a desire for his word as you continue to pursue him in his word. Mm. And I think I found that to be true in my own life. God actually gives me a desire as I just humbly do what he has called me to do in seeking him in his word, praying about it, thinking about it. We are not called, I don't believe, to read our Bibles every day, check a box, and then move on with the rest of our life. Mm-hmm. But we're called to meditate on God's Word, to think about it, mm-hmm. to apply it. And I think having the discipline to humble yourself under God's Word, what would God's Word say about this decision I need to make? Mm-hmm. What do I need to think about from God's word as I'm getting ready to step back into my home at the end of a work day? And I need to be for my wife. I need to have her good in mind. I need to be ready to give of myself, Ephesians 5 says, right? To love her in a Christ-like way, sacrificially.
You know, I just kind of piggybacking on what Tyler said, if somebody is struggling to create the discipline of being in God's Word, you know, as Tyler was speaking Scripture, I was thinking of Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I would just encourage for you to develop, for you and for the three of us to develop a greater desire for God's word, it's not going to be something we muster up on our own. It is going to be the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And so I would encourage somebody that is struggling to develop a discipline of being in God's word or relying on God's word or seeing the necessity and the clarity and even the sufficiency, is start with prayer. ask the Lord to give you the desire of your heart to know Him better.
These are really helpful inputs. I think sometimes we overcomplicate things, and you know what I'm hearing from you, men, is do something and pray. Start exposing your heart to God's word in those moments where you don't feel like doing it. Fight what you feel with what you know to be true. Trust God. Take Him at His word. Do something. Just read God's word. Come up with a plan. Be faithful to it. Expose your heart to it. Trust in His strength to persevere, and plead with Him, Lord, give me a desire where I lack. I think that there are typically, when we've neglected God's word, the fruit of that is entanglement in sin.
Yes.
Sin is going to dull our desire for God's word. Why? Because it indicts us. When you're in darkness, you hate the light. It exposes you.
Yep.
And so some of it is typically, and I've heard you talk about this before, Tom, if somebody's struggling with drawing near to the Lord in godliness and His word and discipline, there might need to be some personal inventory taken on where are you harboring bitterness or have unrepentant sin in your life. And you know, First Peter 2, Peter says, therefore, putting aside all malice and deceit, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And the manner in which you long is by casting aside sins that dull your taste, dull your desire. And this command to long for the pure milk of the word like newborn babies isn't, as some would think, new Christians need to want God's word. This is every believer needs to want God's word this way, like a baby wants milk. And that is part of God's means to growing you in respect to your salvation. Tyler, you mentioned that before. And so, Thomas, Tyler, this is helpful insight. Just practically, if you're listening today and you are struggling just to be faithful in God's word, just make a simple plan and come to God's word and then pray and trust Him, plead with Him to do this work in you, to grow you in this, and take some personal inventory. And where there's sin that you need to put aside, put it aside. Maybe even pray, God, help me to agree with You about what You say about these things, so that when Your word exposes these idols, I'm grateful for that, not embittered by that. And
right.
Then press forward and see what God does through His word. Any last comments?
God saved us to be in His sight. He desires to be near us. And we need to desire to be near Him.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.